All right. Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another audio interview with That Park Place. Last time we did this with Lauren Connor, and it was a tremendous success talking about the current state of Star Wars and especially the Kenobi series. If you haven't seen that, definitely go check it out. But today we are here and we are blessed to be with the best, Mr. John Goff, the one and only, the guru of travel. Writing for That Park Place. As you know, That Park Place covers all sorts of things that should be fun, whether it's movies, whether it's TV shows, theme parks, but also travel, all those things that you think about doing, those vacations you dream about having. That's why we've got Mr. John Goff. He is the guy who is always going. And so, first of all, Mr. Goff, it's wonderful to have you for this second audio interview. How are you tonight?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you very much, WD Pro, for having me. And just looking forward to having a great conversation.
Well, good deal. Well, I know that you just traveled from the North Georgia area all the way to Yellowstone National Park and back again. And what a time to do that, considering the latest news about Yellowstone. But you and your brother, also known as the Tortuga Brothers, traveled to Yellowstone, and you did an ongoing series of articles each day, sharing with us video interviews, sharing with us new photos, and all kinds of interesting things about sort of your discovery of that area of the country. So let's start off here. You left from North Georgia again and went all the way over to Montana. During that trip, what were some of your favorite places that you drove through?
Oh, wow. Well, I do know that, the first night of travel, we left at 9 o'clock from North Georgia, and we drove through the night, and we arrived at the Badlands National Park in South Dakota. And that was our first national park stop. And South Dakota, I just want to say that just that the landscape is so much different than it is from North Georgia and Southeast Tennessee. You know, we have beautiful mountains here. We have beautiful countryside here. But the landscape is just different. The canyons, the ridges, the abundance of wildlife that you just see roaming the prairies and everything, it was just phenomenal. It's just not something that we see around here. You know, we get to see a white-tailed deer and we're just amazed by it. But to see elk, to see bears, to see foxes just outside of our cabin, it was just truly amazing.
All right. Well, fantastic. And I'm going to take that as a full-on endorsement. You would recommend that our readers and listeners would make the same kind of trek as you.
Oh, most definitely. You know, can't forget about, some of the places that we went to were, I would think that they would be what most people would call bucket list places. I mean, we're looking at Mount Rushmore, that's some place that I've always wanted to go, but have never been able to do it until just now. And but then Yellowstone in itself, I mean, we probably could have spent a whole month at Yellowstone going to the different places, but it just seemed like that when we were on our trip, it was go to our destination, take pictures, and all right, we're off to the next one. So we really didn't get a chance to really take in the magnitude of our stop. So if I had to do it all over again, which I'm planning on doing in another 2 years after my daughter graduates from college, we're going to do the exact same thing, but we're going to do some other things as well.
Well, we cannot wait to have you do that. Hopefully we'll still be having the opportunity to do this thing called That Park Place, and we can continue to share with our readers all of your adventures. So that will be wonderful. Now, I know that when you went this time, you had a goal of fly fishing. Is that something that you've been doing, or is this something you've picked up now?
Well, it's something that I've always had in my arsenal of things that I like to do. I think I first started doing fly fishing, I want to say probably about 10 years ago. I got a fly rod and I went a few times, but never caught anything. So I was really hoping by going out to Yellowstone that we would get the opportunity to fly fish, which we did. And I was able to catch my very first fish on the fly rod. And, you know, just to be able to say that my first fish that I ever caught on a fly rod was actually in Yellowstone Park. And so it was quite a thrill. My only problem is that I didn't get a picture of my first fish because by the time, you know, there are certain rules that you have to go by in Yellowstone with certain fish. And if it's a native fish, like the cutthroat that I caught, it has to remain in the water. You can't take it out of the water or it'll kill the fish. So I was doing everything I could to get over to the riverbank and get the fly out of the fish. And I finally did that, but then it got stuck in the net. So I had to work it out of the net. Next time, I know, go ahead and get the camera out, take a picture of the fish, now work on getting the fish out and freed and all that good stuff. But
that's right. The photo op comes first.
It does. And but again, I was just so ecstatic about catching my first fish on a fly rod. I at least know what to expect when I'm fly fishing. And, you know, a lot of times when you watch videos of fly fishing, when you see that fly land on the water, usually the videos that I've seen, the fish hits it right away. Well, what I experienced was that when I cast it out there and the fly hit the water, I let it drift on down. And that's when I started feeling bites. And then eventually I caught my first fish.
Wow. So, now, for those of us who have never been to Yellowstone, those of us, for example, I myself here in the studio, that Park Place studio, have never been to Yellowstone. Describe to us sort of the surroundings that you were in as you were out there fishing.
Oh, well, I do know that when we first bought our license or our permit to fish in Yellowstone, we got it at the northeast entrance. And let me just go ahead and brag on the folks that work for Yellowstone. They are so informative there at the gates. You know, I wish my brother and I had talked to them the day before we purchased fishing licenses for the state of Wyoming. But they let us know right away that, you know, a fishing license for Wyoming does not work in the state park of Yellowstone. But they immediately told us that, hey, you know, you can actually purchase a permit right here. So we did that. And then they started telling us that the places that they had heard where fishermen were having great success catching fish. And so, we went out there and, but they definitely gave us pointers, or at least told us, be careful for wildlife out there because the bison will, you know, are definitely going to be in that area. And also there was a grizzly sighting in that area. So when you're out there fishing, you're looking, I mean, you're down in a valley, you're out there in the middle of the river, and your head is on a swivel. You're looking for bison. You're looking for bears while still trying to figure out, okay, where are these fish? And so, but just the magnificent views, you know, watching the rain clouds come across the mountains and work, you can just see the rain working its way to you. And again, these mountains that I'm watching or seeing in the distance, they're snow-capped. So I'm watching as the clouds were coming in, the rain was coming in. I mean, just such majestic views, and to see the wildlife. I mean, going down into the river, you can see where the bison had trails and their tracks were down by the water and everything. And I mean, it was kind of scary, but at the same time, it was thrilling at the same time.
So to segue from that, you're talking about the snow-capped mountains. That actually leads us into what happened after you left. So once you left, the heat wave that consumed much of the country made its way up to Yellowstone. And as a result, it melted all of those mountains surrounding, not just in Yellowstone, but of course surrounding, which then led to great runoff and then flooding in Yellowstone National Park. Now, you've got a friend who is still in the park and was evacuated. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
About the only thing I can tell you is that I went to work today at a golf course, and this gentleman works at the golf course, but he is on vacation this week. And he had told me before I left that by the time that I get back, that he would be out there. And my brother just sent me a text Tuesday morning, said, "Hey, it looks," you know, kind of laughed about it and said, "Looks like we had great timing to be out at Yellowstone." And I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And of course, he sent me a news link, and I had no idea that that was going on. But it was showing, the news article showed a picture of part of the roads that we had been traveling on. I mean, every day we were on the north end, and a lot of there were several sections on that northern section of road that was completely wiped out, or at least some of it was wiped out. And there were rock slides and all that. And I haven't had a chance to talk with my friend. He's coming back, supposed to be back at work on Monday, but I'm planning on interviewing him and just going to find out exactly what was the process they went through, and, you know, how they found out that they needed to be moved, and, you know, what did the National Park Service do for them to help get them out.
Sounds like a great future article.
Oh, it's coming.
That's right. And that's our motto, ladies and gentlemen. So talking about the majesty and the splendor of Yellowstone, both when it's in the state that you experienced it, as well as when there are torrential floods and rain and all those inclement weather situations, I know that you came across someone who was doing paintings and perhaps does that as a profession or a very serious hobby at Yellowstone. And for those of you who don't know, reading a John Golf article is not like any other article on that park place. He actually was doing video interviews. And so that's a really great feature. But I noticed that you interviewed this gentleman. Can you tell us a little bit about what he was up to and how you came across him?
Yeah, we were at the basically what's called the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone. And I mean, it really is just a beautiful place. And we had actually visited, I guess, a little area that's directly above the waterfall. And I was able to actually get a video above the waterfall, and I stuck my camera, my phone, over the waterfall, so you could actually see, you know, where the water was actually going, and just
you're the guy making the Rangers nervous. That's what we're saying.
Well, actually, there weren't any Rangers around, but let me just say, for somebody that's always been terrified of heights, let's just say my vertigo was starting to kind of kick in a little bit, and so I.
Now wait a minute. Yes, you're the same guy. You're the same guy who one of your first articles was about walking out across the Grand Canyon on the glass pane.
The skywalk. Yes, sir.
Skywalk. Yes. And yes, you're terrified of heights.
I am. Yes, sir. But when I'm with my kids, I even told them that going out there on that skywalk at the Grand Canyon, I said, "Now, let me just go ahead and tell you kids might have to just kind of push your daddy on through, because
that's right. Well, the urine will make it easier. He'll slide better, kids."
Well, I just told him, I said, "Your daddy may be crawling across the floor, and I won't be looking at the bottom of the canyon. I will do my very best to not embarrass you kids too much." And again, when I say kids, you know, we're talking about my 25-year-old son and my 22-year-old daughter, which, you know, that was 2 years ago. So
who as they watch their father slowly crawl like a paralyzed crab on the glass, they revert immediately to the teenage status. They're like, we don't know that guy.
Exactly.
That guy, we don't know him.
Exactly right. But, you know, they were really good. I think that I held my own. I did. I still kept one hand on the on one of the railings and the one that's closest to the building. But, you know, there were folks that were doing all kinds of crazy stuff out there. But
back to the artist. Yeah.
OK, the artist. So the next day, my brother and I somehow got lost on some of the roads there in Yellowstone, and we finally found where you could see the waterfalls off in the distance. And so we were taking pictures and just kind of taking our time. My brother, who is the photographer, the entire trip, he was really great about seeing families where one member of the family was taking a picture of everybody else in the family, so they were being excluded. And he was really good about saying, do you want to get in the picture? I'll be glad to take the picture for you. And so, you know, there were many times that he was doing that. But we happened to be doing that. And I decided to leave my brother, let him go ahead and help that family. And I just kind of worked my way around. And I saw this gentleman sitting there with a painting. And I was like, oh, my goodness, these are watercolors. And he is doing one of the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone with the waterfalls in the distance. And I overheard him talking with a gentleman from Escondido, California. And the reason why that caught my attention is that because it's very close to San Diego, and that's where my grandmother lived. And we had cross-country drives out to go see my grandmother back when I was in my teenage years, and also I guess probably did it one other time, I think when I was maybe 10 or 11 years old. So I'm sitting there listening to him have this conversation with the gentleman. And after he's finished with the gentleman, I said, excuse me, but my name is John Goff, and I do articles with That Park Place. Would you mind if I interviewed you? And he said, that would be awesome. So
it was a great article.
Oh, it was. What's nice is that I enjoy doing the articles, but I think I'm starting to really find a passion for interviewing people that have a story. And, yes. You know, the other family that I interviewed at over close to Mount Rushmore, you know, I just happened to see their family all wearing the same shirts and talking about, you know, they were paying tribute to their late son named Tobias. And I just asked a question, you know, and that's definitely not in my character where I just go up and start talking to strangers. That's just not me. But doing these articles and being able to write these and start doing interviews has really opened me up a little bit more to be able to do, you know, think outside of my box.
Sure. And, you know, the way that we perceive things like Yellowstone or the Grand Canyon, you went to quite a few other magnificent places, but, you know, the way that we perceive all of that and the beauty that those places hold it's at least influenced and probably more by the people we share it with. And so when you're interviewing people who have been touched to the point of doing watercolor paintings, or you talk to people who have been touched to the point that they want to memorialize a lost loved one, I think that opens it up to the audience who's reading your article to be touched to the broader story that these are not just places, but these are shared experiences that we all can take part in.
Right. And, you know, I think the biggest thing I want for my readers to get is that all these places that I'm traveling to, there are special people that I meet every time. And even though I'm not doing interviews with them every time, it's just, I don't know. I think it's doing more for me than it is for my readers, because, you know, I'm getting to meet these folks and getting to hear their stories. And, you know, again, the Tobias family, you know, the Team Tobias family, they were so willing to share the story about Tobias and get that out there. That touched me that they were so willing to talk.
Why don't you share that story briefly? We're running out of time, but share that briefly. And then if you still have their contact information, make sure that they get to watch this interview. And I know that everybody who's listening right now is very interested. Go ahead and tell us what the story was behind that.
Tobias was their teenage son, and they were from Pennsylvania, and they had gone on a cross-country tour, but they went through the southwest portion of the United States. And I mentioned that I was from the Chattanooga area, and they said, you know what? Our last stop before we headed home was in Chattanooga. And we talked about some of the places in Chattanooga and all that good stuff. But then they started letting me know, they started telling me about, you know, what happened with Tobias. He had cancer. And one of their last trips they had with Tobias was going through the Southwest, and they had the shirts made so that they felt like it was allowing them to take Tobias with them on this trip, where they went through the northern part, the northwest part of our country. And it gets you a little choked up.
Well, you know, and we can all, I think we can all identify. I mean, if you're of any sort of age, you can identify when you go places and the people that you love to share those places with aren't there physically with you anymore, but the memory remains. And hopefully it's one of those things where you can be a little choked up for a minute because you've got so many happy memories with those people. And it's a great honor to have gotten to share the earth and this time together with them. And so that's very wonderful. Well, let me ask you this, Mr. Goff, before we wrap up, would it be okay with you? Would it be at all disrespectful to jump to something that I think is a little bit funny? Can we hop to something humorous just for a minute?
Oh, certainly.
Well, you know, I have been following your articles, and I hope everybody else on That Park Place is as well. Again, they're very different than any of the other stuff, the other things that we do, and they're just fabulous. But so one of your articles was above all the rest. I know that you've done multiple articles on the joys of the Buc-ee's gas station, and those are great.
Oh, yes.
And I know that you've done, I know that you have done just out there kind of places. You even somehow ran into a guy whose job it was to find runaway military members and bring them back.
Yes.
So you have had some special articles that nobody else can touch. All of that said, you did an article about a festival, and this festival, that's exactly right. This festival could somehow be taken to be offensive. Its name could somehow be taken to be a bit vulgar. Can you tell us the name of that festival that honored the lowly terrapin, the beautiful landlocked turtle? Can you tell us the name of that festival you enjoyed?
I'd be more than happy to. It is called the All American Cooter.
Pronounce it
Festival.
Carefully. One more time. Carefully, sir.
The All American Cooter Festival.
You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. This is the kind of stuff that's covered at That Park Place. Okay. Everybody has to know, what in the world is that festival about? And how did you find out about it?
Well, it takes place in Inverness, Florida, and the cooter is actually a turtle, and they actually have a lake there that is called Cooter Lake, And that's where all the festivities take place. And I watched a cooter race. And it's mostly kids that get these little turtles and they put them. It's almost like, you got a box and you've got several running lanes and they open up the gates and the turtles take off running. And
well, I mean, let's not exaggerate the movement the turtles are really doing there.
Well, let's just say that they're not setting any great records. All right. But to watch the kids get all excited about it. But it's really the announcer that receives all the attention because they're talking especially about the rules at the very beginning. You cannot grease your cooter.
Right.
You're not allowed to aid your cooter. And that means you can't push your cooter. You
that
cannot.
Could be a painful situation. Yes,
it could be. Just the instructions by the announcer, the MC of the race, that was more entertaining than watching the kids. So, and of course the kids had no idea about the, how would you say that? The sexual,
I'm expecting some French out of you
I'm
right now.
Sexual innuendos that are actually being, that are coming across. And the kids are oblivious to it, but all the adults are standing around just laughing.
And so, the kids think they're the star. They
exactly
can't imagine
right.
how they're doing that well, but the adults are loving it.
Yeah, and the reason why I found out about it is because I have a cousin that lives very close to there, and he told me because he has a birthday in early October, and I went down to celebrate his 50th this past year, and he said, well, you know, you're going to have to come back down in a couple more weeks. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, well, we have the All-American Cooter Festival going on. And I said, yeah, I definitely got to come back for that.
That's right. Well, in closing, let me just say that, every day that we, John and I and all the others get to write for that Park Place, it really is an honor. And we've been seeing readership just skyrocketing. That's not an exaggeration. Each day we get the numbers anew, and it really is something where we just can't believe it. And so that goes out to everybody who's watching this, everybody who comments, even the ones who comment sometimes, and maybe we disagree on certain things. We appreciate all those voices that are out there. But it just is truly a great opportunity, and we're so fabulously happy to get to be doing this. And I know that John is excited to be going all over the country, literally doing these stories about places, but also about people, and obviously having lots of fun doing so. John, any places that you've got on your list coming up?
Well, I know that since retirement, I've been trying to somehow make my way across the Pacific over to Hawaii and haven't done that yet, but I'm thinking maybe in the spring might be able to get to Hawaii. So that's one big thing.
This is going to be a fun road trip, ladies and gentlemen.
Part of the way, I would say part of the way. But my sister's been to Hawaii and she has talked about, you definitely need to make sure that you rent a vehicle and travel all over the island. Whenever you do get over there, she says, just amazing.
That's right. That's right. Well, Mr. Golf, it has been fantastic getting to have your voice go out onto the airwaves for the first time for that Park Place. Thank you to everybody who's participated and watched and listened. Make sure to drop a comment down below. And as always, keep reading that Park Place. It's your place for all the news that should be fun. And we will see you next time.